Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. They are our ride or die. Some we talk to every day. Others are there for us in a pinch. We're talking about our friends. Not all friends are created equal, however. Sometimes, whether you know it or not, they don't always have your best interests at heart. And some of them could even be called toxic friends. But how do you know? And how does that happen? And what do you do about toxic friends? Well, joining me to talk about this are Dr. Roz Aker-Black, clinical psychologist and mental health therapist Joseph Williams, and you, the listener at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can certainly tweet me at HFisherWHUR or follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Hello, my friends.
Hello.
Joseph. Hey, Doc, how are you? Hey, Joseph, how are you?
How are you?
Good. Well, I am glad that you two are here for this conversation, because there's a lot to be said about so-called friends who really are toxic. Perhaps they don't even know it. And maybe you don't know it. So first and foremost, Dr. Roz, how would you describe a toxic friend? Give me an example.
Oh, great question. Someone who emotionally drains you and the relationship is no longer beneficial for you, but that other individual seems to get all the benefit of the relationship.
But you love them.
Mm-hmm.
You love. So how do you know that they are emotionally draining? How do you know that that relationship is no longer beneficial?
There are signs that always show up when that person calls or when there's a text message from that individual and you are dreading responding or communicating or having any type of contact with that individual. That is your subconscious telling you that this person drains you in the way that it wears you out emotionally. So you have to be kind of in tune with yourself and listening to yourself. If you have whatever your response is to someone, you need to pay attention to that.
So, Joseph, is there a way to figure out, you know, where a toxic friend comes from? Are some friends toxic from the beginning, or is it something that evolves over time? I mean, for some of us, we've had our friends for decades.
Right. I believe that it can be an accumulation of both of those things. I believe that some people come with baggage and they come with dynamics and they are used to functioning a certain way in the way they manage through their friendships. And then sometimes some of us, we can get, you know, hit with a dynamic, which, you know, it can kind of produce certain behaviors in us where we can oftentimes drain people. So I believe that it can be both of those things at any given time. And if I was just to add to like an indicator of a toxic friendship, I would say that, you know, and as a therapist, I always tell clients this, a toxic relationship, a toxic friendship is when you can't or when they can't let you go, but then in the process, they can't treat you right either.
Give me an example of that.
So I'm going to give you an example. If you have a friendship that oftentimes feels like it's recreating a space of trauma for you, or you're reliving a certain space in your life where it oftentimes makes you question yourself, or you feel like you have to kind of mute or edit or change who you are in order to be around them, or when you feel like your best interest is not necessarily put on the forefront the way that you're doing them. For example, I have tons of clients, you know, who will tell me something like a friend will make contact and be like, hey, how you doing? And you'll go, hey, well, I'm stressed out, you know, I'm sitting here confused. And then they'd be like, okay, anyway, let me tell you what happened to me today. That means that they're really not interested in what's going on with you, and you oftentimes find yourself holding back your own trauma or your own dynamics in order to hear them out. And then the moment that you call that out, they usually can't see the problem, if that makes any sense.
And interesting. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about toxic friendships. How do you know if you have a friend who is toxic? And where does that come from? How do you address it? How do you manage that? If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Dr. Roz, I would imagine, and we've heard our elders say this for years, that different friends serve different purposes in our lives. And you may have a cheerleader friend, you may have the hype friend, but you also may have a friend who is always going to tell you the truth, no matter what that truth is. That friend who may look at anything that you do with a critical eye. And some people may see that as a toxic friend. Is it?
No, I don't necessarily see that as a toxic friend, because friendship requires accountability. Mm. So if you do have that person in your life, you are lucky. I would encourage people to have those type of authentic friendships, because at the end of the day, you want to make sure that if any behavior that you exhibit is appropriate, and if you are doing something that is not beneficial for you and is causing harm to others, I would want my good girlfriends to sit me down and say, Roz, are you all right? What's happening?
Absolutely.
What's going on with you? You know, so accountability and friendships are very important. And if you have that individual that holds you accountable, we all need someone in our life that does that for us. So I don't necessarily consider that as toxic. I consider that as being a very authentic friendship.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about toxic friends, what to do about them. Hunt, calling from Springfield, Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just want to say I've experienced that where I was venting to a friend about a situation, and the next thing I knew, it was all over the office. And so I was really, really hurt, and I let it go. I just refused to go around that person anymore. But I in the beginning of the year, I prayed. I fasted for 21 days with Alfred Street Baptist Church. And God revealed to me that I had to go back and say something to the young lady. And I did, and I'm done. I feel good.
What was her response?
She denied it. She continuously denied it, and I kept going back at her, telling her, you had to say something because too many people said something to me. And she's the only one I spoke to. She just denied it. And then finally at the end, I guess she couldn't deny it anymore, she apologized that my hurt feelings turned into gossip.
Interesting. What do you think about that, Joseph? Good idea, bad idea for her to go back and confront a toxic friend about their toxicity?
You know, it all depends. You know, I oftentimes tell people, if a person is toxic, you coming back to them and letting them know how they make you feel or how they're making you feel or what they've done, sometimes it serves no purpose if the person is not willing or open to recognize their own actions. Sometimes toxic people don't deserve an explanation, because they'll even find a way to gaslight you in the space of you trying to hold them accountable for their actions. You understand where I'm coming from? And I always tell people, my clients, you know, blocking, deleting, just moving on is a form of self-care. It's actually top-tier self-care. And we have to start to recognize that, you know, in order to communicate, We have to feel that this is a safe space where I can be honest and we can both hold ourselves accountable. I always tell people, you know, it takes two to be in a toxic situation, because sometimes we can feed those things too by the lack of communication. Sometimes we can allow that toxic person a space to be that way with us. You know, and so I believe that it all depends on if the person is open, willing, and ready to communicate, to discuss, and confront the issue.
Okay. Hunt, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tony, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. I have a toxic relationship with one of my daughters. She is one of those people that loves drama. She can't see anything that she does wrong. And when when I try to give her advice, she doesn't listen. It's a long story short, she wasn't raised by me, and she likes to throw it, and she likes to post it all over Facebook. So she doesn't feel like I'm right, and she doesn't feel like I'm giving her enough attention. She'll blast it on Facebook, and then she'll deny that it's about me. And so I actually just had to... actually, in the relationship between me and my daughter, unfortunately, because it's been going on for 3 years.
But Dr. Roz, she said this was about her and her daughter. That's different than a friendship, or is it?
It can be, and here's the truth. Mother-daughter, people don't talk about this, but mother-daughter relationships are hard. You know, and sometimes, and I apologize, I didn't get your name.
Tony, that's Tony.
Tony. So sometimes we don't, the things that we see in our children reminds us of us, the bad parts of us, and sometimes we don't like that, and we're fighting against that. So it sounds like in this relationship with your daughter is that she's trying to reach you, although passively aggressively, by putting it on social media. Seems like you ladies need to come up with boundaries, figure out a way to communicate effectively so that you can get to the core issue of why you are having such issues with each other.
Okay, Tony, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about toxic friendships, what to do about them, where do they come from, why do they happen? Let's go to Honesty, calling from Winchester, Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
The two most misused words in the English language is friend and love. But I'll give you three words. Trust, honesty, and communication. Only one is the most important, which is honesty. Because if I don't honestly communicate what I'm saying to you, your trust is misplaced. Mm-hmm. In any relationship that you have, mother, father, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, it doesn't matter. So first I have to be honest about the way I feel, and then communicate that to you, so that you can have trust in what I say. If I say I'm going to pick you up at 11 o'clock every night at work, and I do it every time, you can trust, and you build trust in what I'm saying. But if I do that and I miss times and I'm late and I'm this, then you can't have that. You have to be honest first in your communication in order to have trust about who you are as a person and as a friend, as a lover, as a family member. It is essential.
Okay. Well, honestly, thank you so much for your input
in
that regard. What do you think about that, real quick, Dr. Roz, about what he said, you know, communication, you know, honesty, and I forgot the third one he mentioned, but
he's spot on, because at the end of the day, if I can't trust you with what you say you're going to do, then we aren't building a relationship. And so if I can't be honest, if you're not showing up in an honest way, if you're not showing up in a trustworthy way, then most people would be like, that person is a flake, right? And they're not going to try to build that relationship. So he's spot on. If I can be honest, and this kind of piggybacks to what Tony was calling about, at some point, the tension between her and her daughter is showing that they don't have a safe space to communicate.
We're going to dig a little bit deeper in that. And we're also going to talk about the different kinds of toxic friendships that you may have. Vita calling from Waldorf. Also, Jack calling from Annapolis. Stay with us. We're going to talk to you next. Stay with us, everyone. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2, as well as 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This discussion continues in a few seconds.
Day. Homeboys through the summer, winter, spring, and fall. And then there's some we wish we never knew at all. And this list goes on again and again. But these are the people that we call friends.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking about toxic friends. What do you do about them? Where do they come from? How do you manage that? My guests are Dr. Roz Aker-Black, clinical psychologist and mental health therapist, Joseph Williams. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. At the risk of being a man, do women have more difficulties with toxic relationships than men, Dr. Roz?
Question, because the way that women express aggression is relationally. And let me explain that. You see it as early as like pre-K in kindergarten. If I get upset with Susie, then I tell Jody and Kathy, Susie has the cooties, right? And so now Jody and Kathy.
Susie has the cooties. Oh, Lord have mercy.
Yeah, that's a DC thing. Don't want to have a relationship
thing.
With her.
Go ahead.
So I've broken three relationships with her. That's how women express their aggression. We're relationally aggressive. And so what we do is that, unfortunately, we attack relationships. We triangulate people into our relationship. We try to get people to be on our side. We get upset if our girlfriends are siding with our friend. It's like, you're not supporting me. You know, so we relationally are aggressive. We attack friendships. And it's unfortunate. But here's where that whole stereotype of women are catty. And it's because we're relationally aggressive.
So, Joseph, that's not an issue with men? I mean, how might a man deal, what kind of toxic friendship might a man have with his guys?
I've sat in barbershops many a days, and I've heard just as much gossip as, you know, women have produced or put out there in both settings. I've seen it, and I believe that the competition thing with men, and just oftentimes our success and our happiness is oftentimes stereotypically tied to what we can offer, what we have, or what we can show that we've done, just based on toxic masculinity, what's being put out there in the world as to what makes a successful man. So I think a lot of times those toxic dynamics can oftentimes show up amongst men in the spaces of, you know, what I have versus what you have, in the space of how successful am I in comparison to you. And so the talking down or the making you feel minimized based on accomplishment, I see that often.
Mm-hmm. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Vita calling from Waldorf. Vita calling from Waldorf. Thanks for calling, Vita. What's on your mind?
I wanted to kind of get the doctor's advice regarding friendships that are, like, competitive or, like, have jealousy. I have one particular friend who I just feel like everything is just a competition, and I don't want to compete with my friends. Like, if anything, I want to uplift my friends, but it just seems like it's always competitive, and I don't know what to do. Like, if I should end this relationship or, you know, have a conversation about it. I don't know.
Dr. Roz?
That's, believe it or not, that is very common, and people may not see that as toxic. And the flip side of that is that you can have a friend that is supporting you and also praying for your downfall. So you have to be very careful in terms of how you interpersonally relate to people. So what I would encourage you to do is have a conversation and say, this does not feel good to me that I feel like we are competing with each other because I want to uplift you. I'm not trying to outdo you. I'm not trying to do one over on you. I'm happy for your success. When you win, we both win. Mm-hmm. We're opening the doors for others to win. And so I think you have to express how you feel. I don't necessarily encourage people to do emotional cutoffs, you know, like just cut people off and don't tell them why, because it's not resolving the conflict. I would rather you have a healthy opportunity to resolve a conflict, because what you don't resolve in one relationship, it will follow you to the next. And so it's a great opportunity, Vita, to practice with this one girlfriend and say, listen, I love you to pieces. I appreciate our friendship. But sometimes it feels like we're competing. And we're not in competition, sis. It's enough room for you and I both.
Okay. Vita, good luck to you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Jack, calling from Annapolis. Jack, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I just want to tell y'all that what the doctor's talking about, I've tried it. I've known this person for 15 years, and they're going through a hardship. And it's like I've always been their friend, and they call me, tell me we're not in a relationship. I bring them over, I cook, I clean, I do everything. I give money, and it's like right now I don't need it. But everything the doc talked about is true. I'm not going to go into details, but guess what? It's not like I had to cut it off, but I did what's best for me. And I love this person dearly, but after 15 years, if she can't catch up with who she is, God told me last night, I'm living in my house real good. I mean, I'm cooking and cleaning for myself instead of for her and doing things that we had a friendship with. I mean, I am so grateful to God and everything the doctor's talking about. I'm not going to go into detail, but women got that thing, like she said, just going up on a thing with friendship or relationship. But I am so happy that I confide in God.
Okay.
God told me what to do, my friend.
All right. And well, Jack, thank you so much for your thoughts about that. From his perspective, Joseph, what are you hearing with that? He says he was doing these things, but it sounds like maybe she was interested in something a little more romantic than he. I don't know.
It sounds transactional.
What does that mean? Talk to me about transactional friendships.
One thing cannot happen without the other. The love, the affection, the time, it has to be based on what you're offering. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like he's put forth a lot of effort to maintain some sort of situation, be it romantic or connection or friendship, with this particular person. And based on what he offered, I believe maybe that's his love language or whatever, but I believe that what he offered out, he believed there will be something in return. And maybe there has been a space, or I'm willing to bet there was a space where, based on what he was doing, that gave her the opportunity to be present. And if those things shifted or changed or whatever, maybe the relationship shifted. Or she can be receptive and taking and not actually offering anything as to what he needs and wants in order to sustain a relationship and make it equitable for him. So it sounds transactional. You know, it sounds like it's almost consistent with a friend who calls you to vent to you about things in their life and don't give you a space to do the same thing. You know, I'm a mental health therapist, and so a lot of times I get calls outside of just being a therapist where people want to talk, and, you know, I never get an opportunity to say how my day is going, you know, but I also have to hold myself accountable and talk about boundaries and what I'm willing to kind of deal with after I'm done with work, right? And so I believe that, you know, we have to be cognizant of each other. And, you know, I always tell people that strong friend that you don't allow to express themselves could be suffering in silence. You know, are you concerned to know?
you know, what's going on with them. So there you have it. Transactional relationships oftentimes can be a number one indicator in toxicity. And, you know, particularly when you have a person that you're considering a friend who, if times got tough, can you actually go to them?
Yeah.
If you're in a vulnerable space, do you feel comfortable sharing with them? If you're not on the up and up, or something embarrassing may have come down the pike in your life, or something very traumatic in a health scare or anything, do you feel it's safe to actually go to that person? And if not, we have to kind of question what type of friend is this in my life?
You know, as I said before, at the risk of sounding like a man, it seems that women have a more difficult time with toxicity when it comes to their friendships. And Dr. Roz, since you are the woman in this conversation, and I trust your judgment, so I'll ask you, because I have a friend who has complained to me, a lady who's complained to me about another friend that she's known for decades. Mm-hmm. And yet, when they text, that this friend is constantly misspelling her name. Now, I think the technical term for that is shade. But what is that? Because it's one thing if I've only known you for a couple of months. It's one thing when you can talk about autocorrect, but when you've known someone for decades and they can't seem to get your name spelled correctly in texting or an email, that it may sound like a little thing, but that would tick me off.
It is not a little thing at all. It is a microaggression. And what we don't talk about is that we experience microaggressions amongst our race. Right. We always think that it's coming from some other ethnicity, some other race. But no, we experience microaggressions. And you're right. We call it shade. And it has become so common now to be shady or to be petty that people try to live up to these titles.
We're glorifying the shade.
Yeah. Yeah. You see on these housewives shows, they get another year on the show by being as petty as they can be. So they try to one-up each other every year. And it's horrific because at the end of the day, in a friendship, there is no room for pettiness. For emotional mature people, there is no room for shade. There is no room for demeaning you, because literally that's what that is. You're trying to minimize who I am.
So because I'm going to have a conversation with her about it, and because my advice would be, you need to cut her. I don't care how long you two have known each other. Mm-hmm. But because it keeps happening, and the excuse is, I'm sorry, I guess it's autocorrect, or I wasn't looking at what I was saying, and to me, I think there's a deeper issue there.
It is possible that there is. Like I said, sometimes we minimize people in such ways. People will say, "Oh, how's your little business doing?"
How's your little business doing?
I saw your little video the other day.
that does not sound like support. That is you minimizing the countless hours that I stay up as an entrepreneur to keep my business afloat. Like, people really don't understand what you put into those things. And so when you come with comments like, "How's the little business doing? I saw your little this. I saw your little that. I saw your little post. That was cute."
Yeah.
You know, you can tell when it's not real support. And unfortunately, envy is real. It is. And as much as you may not want to be envious of someone, you have to check that in you. You have to check why you're having such a response to someone in such a way. And everybody has to have that hard conversation with themselves. I won't sit here and act like I'm, you know, the queen of all knowing. There are times where I'm like, Roz, that was a horrible idea. And, and even if I didn't say it out loud, the idea that I thought it, it's just as worse. Because my subconscious emotions are coming through.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Felicia calling from Gaithersburg. Thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Hi. I have a friend, actually two friends. I've known one for about 11 years. I've known the other one for about 11, but not as close. Our daughters have grown up together from preschool up until 11th grade and 10th grade, and they've done almost everything together. The friend A, my daughter, has been very close with their family, and when they were younger, they battled a lot. I think for some reason, one friend A's daughter may have felt a little inferior to my daughter.
What's the problem?
Okay, the problem is that these people, after 11 years, took both of their daughters, and the background was kind of to help understand the issue, took both the girls, and no one mentioned it to me. Now, they didn't invite my daughter, which was okay because she couldn't go anyway. But because we share everything together with the girls, for them to plan and to get hair done and to do all this preparation for this trip out of the country and not have enough guts to mention it to me was kind of disheartening. And not disheartening because I want to get back at anybody, but it's like my heart shut down. Now, my problem is I don't want this to interfere with friendship for the girls. It should not. And I feel an obligation to other relatives of these women because, you know, there's an obligation there. I know family members. So I don't want to hurt these women because they have people that love them. And when you hurt somebody, you know, you hurt everybody. But my heart is just not open to them anymore. And my question is, I feel like I just need to let it go and be done with them and do whatever I can to do if they ever need me. Or do I just, you know, let my heart be its guide? But do I say something to them about it? Like, why would they even do that and not have enough guts to mention it?
Joseph,
I don't get it.
Joseph, your thoughts about that?
And I heard the whole story. I believe the most important thing right now is because I can hear her passion and I can hear her hurt in relation to the situation. It's what's in your heart. I believe that we need to sit down and have a conversation. This sounds like there's been years of friendship and connectedness. Sit down, have a conversation and say how that made you feel. Use the I statements. And let them know what that looked like and what that felt like and what actually was going on. That sounds like that needs some clarity. That whole dynamic needs to be clarified. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that if it's worth it and the friendship is worth it and this is a new thing that just occurred, that sounds like that's a relationship that needs to be kind of opened up, unpacked, but I believe that it can be sustained. So it's important to actually sit with them and talk.
Mm-hmm. Your thoughts real
you
quick, Dr. Rose.
I agree. And I heard you mention that your daughter wasn't able to go anyway. So maybe it wasn't a let me exclude you thing, but maybe it was a logistical thing of, oh, well, her daughter can't go anyway, and ours can, so we'll just go and do this trip. And so I agree with Joseph, definitely. Have that conversation because sometimes we personalize things where there's another explanation. So I would hear their heart because 11 years, I wouldn't just throw 11 years away, especially if they've never done this before to you.
Yeah.
It's worth the conversation.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Felicia, good luck to you. Thank you so much for your phone call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Dr. Rods, what do you do about, you know, those friends who aren't supporting your romantic relationships, whether they there's nothing wrong with the guy or the woman, but they see that that relationship as breaking up the old gang or taking away from the friendship. How do you deal with that?
Ooh, that's a loaded question, but a great question. You have an honest conversation. What is this really about? Because if I haven't told you he's mistreated me, why do you feel like he's not good for me? What is that about? Why don't you want him around? And you do know that I'm at a particular age in my life where I'm going to experience a relationship with the opposite sex. So what is this really about? Sometimes you just got to call people to the carpet. Like, why are you experiencing this in that way? And because sometimes people don't really realize their behaviors. They don't realize how they're showing up. So sometimes you have to bring it to their attention.
Because I know, I would say, you know, some guys, you know, we, you know, if you're playing basketball every Saturday with the fellas, but then, you know, Steve, he's met a new woman, and so now we don't see Steve as much. You know, from my perspective, I'm like, get it, Steve. you know, I will, you know, I'll call you Sunday morning after church, but. But then you have, you know, some friends who feel that they're, that the old gang is being, you know, broken up because Joseph, she's taking Steve away from them or, you know, women, you know, they are, you know, they're hanging out doing their thing. And now one of them meets a guy and now all of a sudden, we don't, you know, they don't see her as right. as much, and they try to undercut that relationship.
I've seen it. I've seen it in therapy. I've heard it from clients, and I believe in those dynamics. It all depends on the circumstance, the situation, the date, the dude, the girl. I have witnessed in my own personal life, you know, people kind of step in and make you question what's going on, but then I oftentimes have to remember that we are all driven by our own trauma and experiences, right? Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we have to kind of see, is this about me? Is this about my relationship? Is this about the fears that a friend is having for me getting involved in a relationship? And how do we approach that? Because, you know, relationships wouldn't be beautiful, particularly romantic ones, if there wasn't a risk. That's what makes us attracted to it, right? And so a lot of times we have to kind of question, where is this coming from? Is this about me? Now, if there's a person who is consistently going out of their way to disrupt the way you feel about something, or you're dating and they're always kind of throwing a salt in the game or something like that, I believe that that becomes toxic at that point. And I would have mm-hmm. to question, what's your end game with this? Do you like me, or are you trying to say people are, no one's good enough for me, or what are you really saying? Or are you sitting in a space where you can't meet anybody and you're unhappy? Because usually when we talk about toxicity and those relationships, usually it has a base. It's coming from somewhere. Mm-hmm. People's behaviors are coming from somewhere. Things that come out of our mouths, it comes from a space. So we have to break down, where is this coming from, right? And then what's the end game with this? So I think it's all about confrontation. Like Dr. Wild said, we have to learn how to have those uncomfortable conversations and those real conversations that oftentimes gives us an answer and clarity as to what's going on or where we are in this situation.
Hmm. Mike, mm-hmm. calling from D.C. Thanks for hanging on, Mike. What's on your mind?
Hi. I have a question about a friend who – oh, thanks for taking my call, by
sure.
the way. A question about a friend of mine who was very two-faced, and he likes to talk about me and other people behind their backs, and then he think right up in their face. And this very same friend, a lot of times, like, I find that I'm doing most of the work. I'm the one that's texting and seeing how they do, how he's doing, and hey, you know, do we want to hang out, anything? And a lot of times my text will go unanswered, or I won't get a response. But when I do it to him, it's a problem. So I've confronted this friend about the two-facedness and the not returning my text when I call him. I'm busy, or he'll deny everything, or I'm very busy, or whatever. But it continues to happen. So my thought is, should I just go ahead and just end the relationship, being that I've already confronted him multiple times about this?
Joseph, I'll let you start with that one. That's interesting.
This friend needs to be held accountable. This quote-unquote friend, there needs to be a real conversation. And so I can't tell you to stop being friends with him because, you know, I don't know. But it all depends on what's in your heart. But the bigger part, the bigger question for me is this. Why so long, and why are you still holding on to such a relationship that talks about you behind your back? And so sometimes we can feed the toxicity. It takes two people to be in a toxic dynamic, right? And so the bigger question for me has to do with this. What keeps you there? Mm-hmm. And what are your fears of actually questioning whether or not this is the best situation for you to walk away? That's what we have. Those are those honest conversations that we have to have, that I want you, sir, to have with yourself about what's keeping me here. Do I deserve a type of friend that would actually go and say things about me behind my back when, in fact, you're supposed to, you know, love, support, and also not put me in dangerous situations? I consider a dangerous situation is anything that will break you or destroy you or hurt you.
Right.
So you have to ask yourself, what keeps me there? I've had this honest conversation or attempted to have this honest conversation, but what's preventing me from actually making that decision to choose me and put myself in a more empowering situation?
Right.
So I need you to sit with that for a minute. You have to sit with that. And, you know, because you don't you believe that you deserve friendships that are honest, that are loving, and that are caring, and that are careful with you, that are careful with you? And careful with things that you're going through, careful with things that are happening, things that you've shared with him that are deeply personal, or it doesn't matter, but don't you want to be in a situation where you feel like somebody's being careful with you? Honest, real, and careful.
Mm. Okay. Well, Mike, good luck to you. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you so much.
Sure thing. Some final thoughts about this real quick. I've got about a minute or so. Dr. Roz, I'll start with you. Toxic friendships.
I'm sorry, final thoughts?
Yeah, your final thoughts about...
Joseph just mentioned, when you're in a friend and you see it, like, stop ignoring the red flags. They're there. And why are you... You got to have this honest conversation with yourself. Why are you ignoring the red flags? You see it. It's caused you pain. Why do you keep going back to it? Those are the questions you have to ask yourself.
Okay. Final thoughts from you, Joseph?
Okay. We are all lights. And sometimes you can have a bright light, and bright lights often attract bugs. Okay? And so you can... There you go.
Amen.
Come on, amen. I am a bright light. So we can't hold ourselves accountable for attracting toxic people, but bugs are attracted to the light. But every so often you have to turn the light off in order to kind of resurge. Right. And so we can't allow people to drain our spirits, our hearts, and our own motivation. So we can empower people, but if your cup runneth over, you give them the runover, not what's inside of the cup. Okay. So always think of that. If you are a bright light, you're going to attract bugs, but you have to make the decision as to when you have to pull back every now and again. Be empowered.
Wow. What are they? Are those ladybugs, caterpillars, spiders, roaches,
moths?
I think that's a really great way to end this conversation. Dr. Roz Acker-Black and Joseph Williams, thank you both for talking to us. And,
thank you.
Thanks for having us. Yeah. Look for those toxic signs. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, March 4th. For news director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Wilson, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.